You and Me in BPD, Season 3, Episode 9, Spiraling. So if you follow me on my Instagram, that's where I tend to be the most honest about what I'm feeling. And you'll know that I tried to record an episode, and as I was recording, I started to feel my head spiraling and kind of my thoughts got overwhelming. So I had to stop. And so I figured that today we'd talk about that experience. Specifically talking about what is spiraling. How does it happen? Why does it happen? And also talking about episodes. So depending on how much you know about BPD, people will talk and kind of theorize that when you are struggling with your mental health, when there's a lot going on in your life, when you're feeling intense stress or, you know, a lot of emotions at the same time, you can have something called a BPD episode. And essentially what this is a time of intense emotional reactions. Some people experience episodes for a few minutes where maybe their whole demeanor changes. Maybe they've been triggered by something and so they start becoming very aggressive or very angry or very combative. Sometimes people can experience BPD episodes where they are feeling incredibly low, and sometimes these episodes can even trigger suicidal ideations or self-harm. So it's important when we talk about spiraling that we understand that an episode is a part of that. It is something that spiraling can lead to, and in my experience, I've had to learn a lot about how to be okay with my feelings before they become too overwhelming to the point that I really need help. And first and foremost, asking for help is not in itself a bad thing. If you are somebody who has been struggling by yourself, because a lot of us struggle by ourselves for a very long time, even if you have a diagnosis, asking for help from your loved ones and from people in your life is not, it's not a thing that should cause us shame. And unfortunately, the world that we live in is one where people feel like they can't ask for help. And so they struggle by themselves for sometimes years with the emotional roller coaster that BPD is. And in reality, asking for help is one of the best things you can do. So if you find yourself in a position that you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't know how to deal with your thoughts, you don't know what to do next to kind of stop your spiraling before you have an episode, then the number one thing I can recommend is have a plan in place. I have friends who have plans, kind of, once I'm starting to feel these feelings, these are breathing exercises I do. These are places that I can go. These are people I reach out to tell them that I'm starting to have these ideations and these thoughts and feelings. And that could be really beneficial for you. So we're going to talk a little bit about what spiraling is and how it leads to episodes and kind of the severity of them, because sometimes they're really serious and sometimes they're not so much. And I think one of the fears that people have is that if they speak about what's going on inside their head, then people are going to automatically take it super seriously. And you know, you always want to take somebody's mental health seriously, but you also want to acknowledge that it's not always immediate that people need to step in and be, you know, always 100% there beside you. I have had some friends that when I've reached out to them, they've been like, what can I do right now? Where are you? Are you safe? And that causes me even more anxiety. Sometimes We just need people to listen to us. And whether or not they can give us advice or comfort, that's kind of besides the point. What we just need is somebody to listen. So what is spiraling? There's a lot of different definitions. And I have talked about in the past, I've talked about black and white thinking and how this can lead to splitting. But I think spiraling is slightly different. So for me, I've mentioned it before, I will have a thought come into my head, and it will be a thought that seems very simple. Maybe I'm having a bad day, and so the thought comes into my head that I did something wrong. You know, like, I'm the reason why this got messed up. I'm the reason why this person is angry. I am the reason that this didn't work out the way I wanted it to. And I'm somebody who's very self-critical, so I usually start by blaming myself. And then the moment that happens, there's like a switch that goes off in my head that starts to either one of two things, starts to find connections between what happened to other things that have happened. So maybe, for instance, maybe I didn't get the ingredients I needed for dinner. So I go, damn it, I should have got those ingredients. And then my brain goes, remember when you didn't get those ingredients before? Remember how bad food tasted? Remember how you forgot to do this other thing? And then that's kind of where the spiral happens. It's like one thought leads into another. And then somehow in the span of like 2 or 3 minutes, I'm suddenly feeling completely incapacitated to do anything, to make anything better. It's kind of like this dark cloud has come over me that just, no matter how hard I'm trying, it's like I'm drowning, like I'm falling into this kind of negative self-talk. And this, I used to call it falling down the rabbit hole. I really like Alice in Wonderland, and that's the easiest way that I could kind of conceptualize it for myself and for other people, was one thought becomes something else, becomes this kind of snowball effect that one thing that went wrong is now my whole entire life is wrong. Everything around me is wrong. And it's really hard when you're in the moment, because some people who have amazing skills of paying attention to their brain, they can recognize it's happening and they can be like, oh, but you know what? I'm just going to leave it for now. And sometimes I'm like that, depending on how the rest of my day has been. If it's been a good day, if everything's working out and then one thing goes wrong, then I'm chill. I can handle that. But if my day has been bad and I've been trying my best to keep my cool and to keep calm and collected, or I'm in a lot of pain, or, you know, I didn't get enough sleep, or I'm really hungry, then the spiraling can happen because of a result of everything else that's happened. And it's really hard. I recognize that it's really hard. Sometimes I'll turn to my husband and I'll be like, all of this is going wrong and it's because of this. And he's like, how are they all related? And it's really hard to explain that it all stems from the fact that I didn't get the ingredient for dinner. Suddenly I'm now angry and irritated and I'm in a really bad spot and no one should talk to me. And sometimes he's like, how can I help? And then I'll turn around and be like, you can't help. There's nothing you can do. Everything's wrong. And I always find that when this is happening, what I've learned is that my speaking becomes faster. My heart starts to beat kind of more loudly in my ears. And I've heard people talk about like BPD rage. And I want to say that that doesn't happen to me very often. And it doesn't. But there are some times where it's like I'm spiraling so much that I am kind of like stuck in, sorry, there's a plane going overhead. I'm kind of stuck in this position of feeling like I have, sorry, feeling like I have so many kind of emotions inside of me that I don't know how to properly explain. And I find that my anger is generally able to be contained. But I personally experience a whole lot more of the sadness. And I've spoken before about depression and, as I mentioned, black and white thinking. And sometimes the sadness is the hard part for me. It's the hardest part, for sure. And the existential kind of dread that comes over me. And I will sometimes find myself needing to be completely alone. And that is very hard because obviously I have a child, I am married, I live with both of them. And sometimes I literally have to close myself off from them and say, I cannot be around you right now. I am stuck in this sadness spiral. Like, I am just feeling like there is nothing good that I can offer the world right now. And I will often say to my husband, like, I wish I could just go to sleep. Like, I wish I could just fall asleep and just stay asleep for a couple of years and maybe this will pass. And the hardest thing, and I get a lot of messages about this actually, the hardest thing that people ask me about is like, how do I deal with this? Like, how do I make it go away? And the number one thing I want to tell you is I don't think it does go away. I think we get used to the kind of triggers, and I've talked about this before. Triggers are super important to understand because I've found that there are certain things, there are certain ways or certain words that my husband will say that just kind of switch a flip in my head. And when I can pay attention to those and I can recognize them, then I can know, okay, that makes me feel this. Like, this is causing me to begin to spiral. And I learned this through DBT therapy. And if you ever message me, it's one of the things I will recommend to you is to find a therapist who specializes in this type of therapy. But there are also workbooks online on Amazon and various other places where you can get them and you can work through them yourself. I always find that it's easier to work through them with somebody who is specialized. But one of the things you'll learn is to recognize your triggers and to recognize where the spiraling starts. And that can sometimes give you just a little bit more insight. You just need to have the ability to recognize where your feelings are coming from, because they're not bad. And whenever I see people talking about episodes, they always talk about like how horrible the episode was and how it took all their energy away and like they just felt so completely overwhelmed. And I completely relate to that. That experience is 100% valid. But I've also come out of those episodes when I've been mindful about it and I've been able to, you know, keep myself safe and take the time to really think about why they were happening. I've realized that there are still things I have to work on. There are still parts of me that are holding on to pain. And I find that when I can acknowledge my feelings and I can acknowledge why these things are happening and what I need to make myself feel better, then I can begin to really find some self-kindness and compassion for myself. If you have ever talked to me, I will explain to you that, you know, this life can only be lived in the moment. And unfortunately, sometimes with this mental illness, the moment is really hard. It's not fun. And it's not something that I would ever want people to experience. But some of us have to. That's just how our brains are. And if that means that something has set you off and you're feeling very triggered, I think it's important to acknowledge that, not to push it away. And you'll find a lot of websites that will tell you, oh, go for a walk, talk about something else, like distract yourself. And I don't think fundamentally that that is healthy for us, because it's important for us to learn how to handle our emotional regulation. A lot of us haven't been taught that. We haven't been given the space to feel all the feelings that are inside of us, especially when we were children. So no wonder that now, when we're adults and we're interacting with people, we might have triggers that come up which prompt an episode, and we really just need to talk about it, to feel our feelings, to cry, to have a safe space where we can express ourselves. I am like almost always expressing myself. And if that means that I am very angry in the moment, then I'm very angry in the moment. And I try very hard to not take it too far. I think that's another thing that's important, is recognizing that when you spiral, what happens? Having conversations with the people in your life and saying, what can you help me with and what can you not help me with? Like, there are certain things that I can talk to my husband about totally fine. And it's like he will listen and he will understand and he will be very empathetic. And there are other things that I feel like I can't talk to him about, so I have to go talk to another one of my friends. I have to reach out to somebody else. I have to give myself the space to process what I'm feeling. And it's really important for us to kind of take the time to listen to what we need, and also to listen to the people in our lives, because fundamentally, no one person is going to fix you or is going to be able to provide you everything that you need. That's what's beautiful about the individual aspect of each person. There are some people who are more willing to listen to certain topics or to certain things that you say with an open mind. There are other people who immediately want to fix things, and they all serve a purpose. There's always a kind of time and place for conversations to happen with certain people. And sometimes it's not the time, or it's not the place, or it's not the correct person. So it's important for us to kind of really pay attention to how we are interacting with people and how they are making us feel. And one of the things, as I mentioned earlier, I deal with a lot of existential dread. So sometimes I'll be spiraling and my brain will go, you are doing nothing. You are providing nothing to the universe. Like, you are worthless. And when that kind of opinion comes up, I typically try to kind of just take some time to really feel those feelings and allow them to exist, not push them away, not kind of run away from them, but just give them the space to be there. Because I recognize within myself, it is me like lashing out at the world. I am lucky enough that I got to see a toddler grow into a young child, which is, my son is 9, and I could recognize in him when he was smaller that there were just so many feelings inside of him that he didn't know what to do, that he would throw things or he would get upset or he would stomp around. And so when I see myself starting to feel that way, I think it's important for me to give myself the space to feel those feelings. And obviously in a safe way. If you're not in a safe place, then you can move on to whatever your backup plan is, whether that's to reach out to someone, to ask somebody to come over, to call a helpline. Helplines are beautiful. Whatever the kind of experience is that you need to do, it is very personal, and our episodes are very personal. Sometimes I find that I am in a bad mood and overwhelmed for like an hour plus, and I don't experience a lot of feelings for more than a couple of minutes. So when I'm feeling this kind of spiral happening, and it's happening for an extended amount of time, it can feel like that's all I'm ever going to feel. And what I found is when I start to hear this self-critical voice inside my head, if I don't meet it with compassion and I meet it with resistance, then it takes longer for me to deal with it. I used to have horrible panic attacks because I would try to force myself to not listen to my body. If I was really tired and I needed to sit down, or if I felt like my head was spinning and my heart was starting to race, then I would slowly start to feel myself becoming even more anxious, and I felt like I couldn't breathe, and then it would lead to panic attacks. And obviously, each individual person is different, so you might not experience it the same way as me. A lot of people cry. I don't cry very often. A lot of people get super emotional and get, you know, they become so kind of distraught with their feelings that they don't know how to talk about them. And some people just need somebody to hold them. Sometimes we just need a hug. And that's why I'm saying it's important for us to kind of take the time to give ourselves some self-compassion and to really recognize what we individually need in order to feel better. Because these episodes are really hard to deal with. And the longer that we try to avoid them, or we try to push them aside or deny that they're happening, then the more intense they become. I've found that every time I've tried to distract myself, it just ends up becoming worse. And I've spoken about this before as well. People with BPD have very high rates of addictions and self-harm. And so when you're starting to feel overwhelmed and you don't know how to handle it, and your brain goes to, well, I want to drink, or I want to smoke, or I want to do any other thing that is not good for you, sometimes that kind of impulse is so much bigger because you don't know how to cope with your feelings. So it is important that we are providing the space for ourselves to figure it out. And no one else can tell you how to handle it. My experiences of spiraling are my own, and they're kind of hard to explain because I feel like you need to be in my mind and in my experience. But there are some similarities that I'm sure other people feel with just this incessant need to kind of, we want to run away from ourselves. And a lot of us have. A lot of us have denied our emotional dysregulation. We've denied that anything has been wrong with us. And fundamentally, that's caused even more pain. And maybe it's caused pain to the other people around us. I was a very toxic person before. I would scream and I would yell and I would blame other people because of my own emotional dysregulation. And it made me not the greatest person to be around. And I recognize that. And maybe it's just because of my age and how long I've been kind of working on myself. But now I at least hope that I'm a better person, that I'm more equipped to handle when my brain is kind of in this really negative self-talk space. Some people go for runs. Some people find that they scream into a pillow, or they might you know, go to one of those, I've always wanted to try it, but you know, those like rage places where you can just break things. Some people find that to be really cathartic. Some people find poetry and writing and journaling to be really, like really appreciated when they're in this place. And really, I think the important thing to know is that these episodes will become less when you start to allow yourself to feel the feelings. My therapist used to say that you have to turn on the spout a little bit. So, like, imagine that you have a bunch of water coming out of a spout. And if you turn it on a little bit, then there's a little bit of water. If you don't turn it on at all, but the water's still running, eventually it's going to kind of break your spout and overflow. Or it's like a dam. Sometimes you need to let the water through and you need to feel those feelings, because if you don't, eventually the dam's gonna break and it's all gonna come spiraling out of you, and it's gonna be too many emotions for you to really be able to work through what they are. And that's where episodes come in. And one of the things that I think it's really important to recognize, as especially if you love someone with BPD or if you want to understand it better, is that each episode is going to be different. Simply because something worked before doesn't mean it's going to work now. We are ever changing individuals. And the more that you are able to give us the space to feel how we feel and to work through that, the more supportive you can be in helping us as we work ourselves out. Because ultimately, we all need to work on ourselves. And no one else can give us, as I mentioned, no one else can give us the tools and explain 100% why things are happening. We need to be given the space and the time to work through that. Whether that means that we come to the same person all the time, or if we work on it ourselves. And we have to, you know, lock ourselves in a room for an hour. I have a hammock now, and one of my favorite things has been coming out here to just kind of be with myself, to get away from, you know, the things that really are bothering me in my house or with somebody else, and to just be by myself, because that's what I need. And when I was younger, I spent a lot of time by myself and it was really horrible. And now I spend time by myself because I need that, because that's what helps me when I'm feeling overwhelmed. I think the whole thing of spiraling and episodes and really all of these kind of emotional dysregulation that happens comes from the fact that we don't know how to handle our emotions. And we really need to have people around us who are going to accept us and sit with us and give us what we need, but also give us the space to work through it and not just immediately try to fix everything. I find that when people try to tell me how to feel, or when people try to calm me down, that makes it even worse, because then I feel like I'm a burden on them, or I feel like I'm doing something even more wrong. Just give us the space, give us the time to really, you know, be with ourselves. And if that means that you just got to sit on the bed and listen to us as we're crying and we're breaking down, then so be it. I know that there are a lot of people that are going through a lot right now, whether it would be because of stressors in their life or triggering people, or even just the time of the year. Summers can be very hard for people. They can feel like they have this expectation to be out and socializing and to constantly be involved with everybody else's life. But it's also a beautiful thing for us to have time to ourselves, for us to spend the time with ourselves, learning how to get better. Because fundamentally, I think that we can all learn how to appreciate the way we are. And there's I've mentioned it before, there's beautiful aspects to this disorder. And really, in my mind, it gives us a chance to experience the full range of human emotions. And that can be very hard, especially if we feel like we don't know what to do. So make some sort of plan, have some space. Maybe you need a therapist. Talk to them about it. Try to figure out the best thing that you can do to make yourself safe and give yourself the time and the energy to feel better. Because our emotions don't last very long. And we never want to make a permanent decision, a decision that's going to harm us because of an emotion. Because honestly, emotions are like clouds. They ebb and they flow and they blend into each other. And sometimes we just need to let them pass, no matter how hard that can be. If you want to reach out to me, I'm always available. I will always answer your message and try to be as supportive as I can. You can get in touch on my Instagram at Journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y dot bound, B-O-U-N-D. And I hope you know that I am right here with you. I am feeling all the feels, and we are in this together. You are never alone in your struggles, and I hope that something in this episode can help you to feel just a little bit better. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.